There's a strange combination of facts in teaching. Fact 1, you have virtually infinite flexibility in writing an exam. You can make it as hard as diamond or as soft as chalk. You can offer copious partial credit or none at all. You can ask questions identical to the homework or questions of baffling novelty. You can give the exam in class, as a take-home, open book, closed book, group style, or as an Instagram post on which students comment their answers, and your score is the number of likes you accumulate. Fact 2, whatever the resulting exam, 90% means A, 80% means B, and 70% means C. These two facts are the parents of an ancient and venerable custom in education, the curve. If the exam scores are not resulting in the grades you want, then what do? Turn them into new scores. In that spirit, I give you. To answer a common question from Instagram, this only makes sense if you read the grades as percentages. Example, 60 is actually 60% equals 0.6, which gets curved to 0, 6, 0, 7, or roughly 70%. Again, we're reading these grades as percentages, and the sin x function takes them as radians, not degrees. Always enlightening and entertaining. I only wish there were a Spanish version. There are potentially 500 million new subscribers. My wife is a math teacher in Panama, and she would love this if only she spoke better English. A curve can represent much more than a simple mathematical shape. In mathematics, it describes the relationship between variables and provides a visual way to understand how a quantity changes as another quantity changes. https://browinner.bet. Or, if you are a professor at a reasonable university, a shrinking number of places, you can set your thresholds to whatever makes sense for the exam. I routinely designed my exams so that 50% was the target average grade and 15% the target standard deviation, so that I could get information about the majority of the class, rather than spending most of the exam points on distinguishing the failures from the abject failures. Although this confused a few students, who thought that whatever grading scale they had experienced in high school was a universal law of nature, they adjusted fairly quickly. Other exams, like the Putnam Math Prize exam, are designed to rank people at the top end and may have a median score of 0. The goal there is to have an extreme value distribution with no one or only one person getting a perfect score. A, as a game, to focus attention. B, for administrative purposes. I am writing a short paper on bureaucratic bloat in which I draw attention to the fact that academic institutions, prior to the 1980s, funded learning through 70 to 85% of the total budget, whereas the current situation has flipped. So the administration receives 85 to 95%. C, as markers to indicate learning progress. D, as a way of very minor boosting of certain students' low scores to offset learning difficulties. Sorry, I am genetically Canadian. This is such a perfect take. The wild flexibility of test design paired with the rigid expectation of grade bands is almost comical when you step back and look at it. Curving always feels like this quiet acknowledgement that the percentage doesn't actually mean what we pretend it means. Loved this both funny and uncomfortably true for anyone who's written exams. For 55 years, I taught math grades 8 through calculus. I believe that colleagues and I used several of the systems described at one time or another, with the exception of the biblical curve. This is hilarious, and I have shared with others. An entirely different system was reported to have been used by an unnamed high school teacher who graded essays by throwing the stack down his stairs. Those that flew far received the highest grades, while those duds who went nowhere received failing grades, not mathematical, but easy to understand. A curve I use on a moderately challenging exam is 10*SQRT, score. So 100% stays 100%, but 81 becomes a 90, 64 an 80, and so on. I love how this post highlights the strange tension between flexible exam design and rigid grading scales. The idea of curving the curve is both funny and thought-provoking. It really shows how much interpretation goes into something we often treat as objective. After reading something this insightful, taking a short break with a fun game like Crazy Cattle 3D can be a great way to relax and reset your mind. This is such a relatable take on the art of grading. Sometimes the process of adjusting those scores feels as rough as ahrefs://scritchy/scratchy/a/piece-of-chalk-on-an-old-blackboard. I love how this post highlights the strange tension between flexible exam design and rigid grading scales. One of the math teachers at my old high school actually used to use y=x0.6 to curve his grades. This article brings up an interesting point about grading and the use of curves in education. It's fascinating how different teaching styles can impact student performance, as discussed in more detail on FunBoxy. This post offers a brilliant and beautifully intuitive perspective on mathematical curves. The blend of humor, clear insights, and engaging illustrations makes exploring complex concepts incredibly enjoyable and accessible. If you want to take a quick, entertaining break after diving into these fascinating shapes, feel free to visit ivibitbonus.https/ivibits.itbonus. Thanks for sharing this fantastic and creative piece. This article brings up some really interesting points about education and learning methods. It's fascinating how the right approach can completely change a student's performance, as discussed in more detail on MathBoor. Curves to Curve by Celebrates Confidence, Body Positivity, and Personal Style. Every body shape is unique, and embracing your natural curves is about feeling comfortable, healthy, and confident in your own skin. Fashion, self-care, and a positive mindset can help highlight individuality and encourage self-expression. Explore more inspiring content at Happy Jokers.